Man doing double duty. He's just running between the sound booth and the song leading. I so appreciate this congregation, the generosity of this congregation, the willingness of this congregation to be joyful. I don't know if you caught it, but in the bulletin, there's a final number for the Heifer Project, which was just a short project, an Advent project. You gave over $500, which is remarkable. And I think we're going to have some good news later this week at the business meeting. Rick is going to announce kind of a miraculous giving year, a year of giving. So I say thanks to you. Today is Epiphany Sunday. So I'm going to stray a little bit from my habit, which is to reflect on New Year's resolutions. I'd like to reflect back a little bit instead on New Year's resolutions, onto where we've been journeying this Advent, if you'd permit me. And then a beautiful Christmas service, meaningful Christmas service, and then Epiphany, which is the announcement of Jesus, the appearance of Jesus, not as the promised King of the Hebrews, but as the one promised to the world. So instead of a resolution, I'll leave you a New Year's blessing. It's from Roy Lessing. And it's a very simple blessing, and I'll share it with you. It goes like this. God is for you, Jesus is with you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. In the material world, brilliant has several meanings. Our culture defines the word as a work of genius. It also is defined as a measure of gem quality. Anybody have a diamond in here? Come on, hold them up. There's a few. Hold them up. Okay, well, your diamond has actually been calculated by its brilliance. It's been graded. I'm not going to guess what the grade is because none of my business, but I know who loved you gave you a brilliant diamond or gem. But in the spiritual world, brilliance has another meaning. It's a message or a vision of such intensity that it changes the course of the world. Isaiah 60 talks about the experience of brilliance. Isaiah experienced brilliance before the birth of Jesus. In his prophecies of Jesus, shepherds experienced brilliance. We sang about that today. And Epiphany Sunday is the celebration of God's brilliance breaking in to the material world. It's my wife's, Mary's, and my custom to seek renewal in the Christmas season, do something different. So we did. After Christmas, we went to our first art show in quite a while. This art show was totally surprising and awesome.
not expecting much, we actually wandered for 3 hours among the world's most brilliant art jewels. This show documented the history and the artistry of the House of Cartier. Have you ever heard of them, Cartier? They were called, and are also called today, jewelers to the world's royalty. They're French. Cartier produced more wealth and jewelry in the last 100 years than in all the world's recorded history. Amazing. How did they do it? Simple. They changed history by making jewelry with a new idea. Instead of mounting rare gems in gold, they mounted them in platinum. You see, platinum was a newly discovered metal, and it's light, and it's malleable, it's easy to work with, it's flexible. It allowed their jewelers to mount thousands of diamonds into a single work of art. Brilliant. A new idea changes the world forever. But this Epiphany message isn't about art jewels. It's about genius. It's about the genius of a God who loves the world so much that creation is changed by a single appearance, a single life. Would you look into that brilliance, that event with me again, please? Let's look up for a moment. Let's look up to a creator. A brilliant event, unknown to the material world, first occurred at Advent. Remember our Advent journey this year? Blinding, warm, peaceful light appears to an unwed teen mother. A vision and a blessing is revealed in that light. This event, this single event, is so fantastic, we have no context for it in our human concept. So the scripture gives it a name. The name is Gabriel, the archangel of God. That same light appears to a temple priest's wife. Her name is Elizabeth. And the same blessings and the same visions come to her. The course is set in brilliance. Eternal God prophesies John the Baptist will announce the coming ministry of Jesus. And God also announces a Prince of Peace that was awaited for 1,000 years. And that's just Advent. Let's move to a week ago. Let's move to Christmas, called God Among Us, Emmanuel. You remember this brilliant event, incredible light and sound. Scripture says a heavenly chorus, that's how it's defined, announcing the salvation and the renewing of the world. And who heard it first? Brilliant! It was the unwashed, the unloved, these unknown shepherds quietly watching flocks in the wilderness. Who could have thought of that? Light from darkness calls shepherds to become the first messengers of God. They're called to Bethlehem. They're witnessing God among us, and then they're commissioned. Remember, they were told to go share the hope of the world in brilliant light. Leave your darkness behind. Now, let's take a deep breath and let's look out a little bit. Let's look out into Epiphany, out into the world. Matthew 2, you might want to read it again. There's a lot in there. It reminds us that the brilliant scene did not disappear in Bethlehem. In fact, it was seen across the world. In a brilliant turn of events, the most learned scientists of the age noticed a star. They noticed it from way far away. Matthew's account doesn't actually capture that full history, so let me take another shot at Epiphany. The Greek translation for Epiphany is literally appearance. That's what it means. This Sunday, we celebrate the appearance of God to the world, to the larger world. But who were these otherworldly people? We sang about them. Lynn led us in a song about them. Some people called them wise men. Some called them kings. Some called them oriental camel riders. Not so much of any of that. Most biblical scholars now agree they weren't just random people riding by on camels. They had traveled thousands of miles to find the source of brilliant light. They came for more than curiosity. They had prepared for this day, and they had studied for this event. They came bringing gifts fit for a king, and they found a penniless, homeless child in a manger. They had brought gifts for royalty. They knew this event was bringing royalty. How did they know? They weren't Christians. They weren't Hebrews. They weren't even part of the Hebrew tradition in Isaiah's prophecy that you heard today. That prophecy is a king of all nations, one who brings lightness into spiritual darkness. These worldly people were from Asia Minor. Do you know where that is? What if this Christian Christmas story of three kings is really about three prophet astronomers coming historically, quite possibly, from Iran, from Turkey, and from Egypt? What if people across the world also witnessed this brilliant event? Many historians now understand the Hebrews were not the first to believe only in one God. The Magi religious tradition actually runs parallel with the Hebrew tradition, and it predates Islam by hundreds of years. You see, these people who came to visit Jesus believed life was a journey to Almighty God. They believed God's coming to earth would be announced by a brilliant light. They actually had a name for it. They called it the light star. That's what they were waiting for. And it came. As learned and prophetic people, their astronomy and their star charts of the heavens predicted this divine event. It was the event of the announcement of God among us. These people called Magi came seeking deity. Their history was later distorted. After Christ's resurrections and reappearances, the Greeks and the Romans rewrote the Magi's role. They called them astrologers. They called them practicers of the dark arts. Let's leave history. Let's stick to Scripture. these magi, they came bearing gifts, gifts of vast riches by any report. Gold, symbolic of Jesus' deity, God among us. And they brought frankincense. Sharon read the version, that was probably the NRV, NIV. It says incense. The literal translation is frankincense. And it was a symbolic of purity. It was used in rites of purification for the godly. And myrrh. Myrrh is a priceless herald of heaven. It's used for embalming in Egypt. Of all those witnessing Christ's coming, the Magi knew the greatest gift is not to give, but to receive. And so you see, they came with gifts, but they also came seeking understanding, seeking a ruler of the heavens, expecting the appearance of God, receiving a Christ prophesied, God among us. Let's take time to look in for just a moment. Let's close with a new understanding of this brilliant appearance of God. Yes, Epiphany is literally the gift of appearance. Remember, Jesus appears first to the humble, then to these rich and wealthy travelers. How does God appear to you? As followers of Jesus, how will you appear to others this year? Will you bring Jesus to someone else this year? Let's forget about the New Year's resolutions for a moment. What if you brought Jesus back to life this year? What if brilliant joy, abundant living, laughter, and forgiveness was your Jesus? What if reconciliation and hope was what people knew and saw in you? What if grace-filled wonder of the Magi actually was carried by you this year? I encourage you, take the journey with Jesus this year. It could be a brilliant journey. May it be yours. Amen.